At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over a million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Mile High Huddle podcast with your football priests, Chad Jensen and Zach Kelberman. Remember, Broncos country is not a geographic location. It's a state of being.
Welcome in, everybody. It is the aftermath episode of the Huddle Up podcast. I'm your host, Chad Jensen, and with me is my fellow football priest, Zach Kelberman. You know him, you love him. Zach, here we are now a day removed from the Broncos' second straight win, another tough, hard-fought one on the road, East Coast. An ugly game. The Broncos won. They're apologizing to nobody for handling the Jets, but how are you feeling about this one now, a day removed?
Yeah, I got a chance to rewatch the game and go over some of the parts that I didn't see in the first watch yesterday. And once again, Chad, I still am so impressed by what the defense is doing, by what VJ is executing on that side of the ball. A couple numbers. They're second in yards allowed per game and touchdowns allowed and sacks. They're third in points allowed a game, fourth in passing yards allowed per game, and fourth in third down percentage. I don't think it's a fluke. I think they're for real. And they alone are the reason why they're 2-2. And not worse.
Yeah, they're getting Herculean contributions from a defense that's punching above its weight class. And one day removed for me, I'll tell you, my overarching kind of feeling is this. My read is Bo Nix has already, I think, through 4 weeks, really gone through a rookie trial by fire in terms of the not just the defenses, Zach, the Broncos have faced, but kind of the order of how these have gone down. You know, start your NFL career on the road in arguably one of the most hostile environments in Seattle. Then you got to take on the Steelers in your home debut. Then you got to go on the road, and you're only 4 weeks to the East Coast, back-to-back, a little staycation on the East Coast, whatever, but you're only a month. You're only at the quarter pole of your rookie campaign, and you've already faced that kind of a gauntlet. You know, he's already PhD'd in, like, NFL defensive sophistication. And so as unsatisfied as I have been overall by Bo Nix's performance, and I'll say production is a better way to put it. And the same, I think Zach can be said safely by Broncos country is just kind of overall unsatisfied. They're happy that the Broncos have won two in a row, but still kind of feeling unsatisfied by Bo Nix's relative failure to launch. I still hold true now, one day later, my overarching read, there's a long-winded way of saying, it's about to start clicking for your boy. And when it starts really clicking in the culmination of all these little micro lessons that he's learned through the first 4 weeks with that defense and this coaching staff and the special teams unit, Zach, this is going to be a team week in and week out that's going to be hard to beat. It just is.
And a team I think that's going to be getting better as they grow and establish their own culture. And the thing about Bo Nix, yeah, the passing touchdowns, the stats aren't really there yet, but he hasn't been sacked since week two, Chad. He turned the ball over less than Aaron Rodgers, a future first ballot Hall of Famer. He had one more touchdown than Aaron Rodgers. And just the way that Bo is navigating the pocket, I went, and because I'm masochistic, I looked up Russell Wilson's game log from last season. He took 7 sacks in week two alone last year. He took 2 in week one, 1 in week three, 1 in week four, then 4 in week five. So just in that sense, you see that the offense will be cleaner and more efficient once Bo gets his legs under him, literally and figuratively.
Man, I'm glad we don't have to deal with that. It's like I was writing about it today, a couple different stories touching on Bo Nix and whatnot from MHH, one of which I wrote Nick had a great breakdown on it, and I thought his overall takeaways were sound and on the money. But I tell Broncos fans who are feeling unsatisfied by Bo Nix's, and in many cases alarm over Bo Nix's 60 yards passing, hey, ask Aaron Rodgers, would you rather have the 225 yards passing or the touchdown, which led was the difference in the win? So maybe a better way of putting it, Zach, is would you prefer the 225 yards passing in a loss or 60 in a win? Now, maybe it's in some sense cold comfort. I don't think it should be. It's like Conor McGregor. I've been on this UFC kick, right? I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to absolutely no one, right? Like, that's the Broncos right now.
Yeah, I mean, anyone who would prefer Bo Nix to have better stats over a Broncos win, to me, that's a casual fan. And again, I point to the Russ game in week one in 2022, Chad. Russ had a good stat line, throw for over 300 yards. The Broncos lost the game, though. So it's 60 yards. It's not what you want to see. It's not sexy, but it was enough to get the job done. They would not have won that game, Chad, without that Cortland Sutton touchdown pass from Bo Nix.
Plus, you have to recognize, hang tight, Sam, I'm just finishing this one thought, bro. Love you. You have to recognize the unique outlier nature of the Broncos' leading receivers, Cortland Sutton, three receptions for 60 yards. Bo Nix's passing total on the day, 60 yards. And yet, Zach, how many other receivers caught a pass? I will tell you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 additional receivers caught a pass, and yet they couldn't. They combined for 0 yards. Okay, real fast. I mean, we're talking Bidet, 2 receptions, -4. Troy Franklin, 2 receptions, -2. Michael Burton, 1 reception, 3 yards. McLaughlin, 1 for 0. Adkins, 1 for 0. Javonte, 2 for 3 yards. That's the kind of day. So that's what I mean by don't go breaking your teeth out knee-jerking over, oh my goodness, Bo Nix passed for under 50% completion and only 60 yards. Try and understand the complexion of how that shook out, the whys, the what fors, the outlier nature of some of those, and then the fact that it resulted in a dub. Sam Bam, brother, love you. Thank you.
Thank you,
sir. Hi, guys. Great, gritty, ugly win for the Broncos yesterday. Now it's time to finally beat the Las Vegas Raiders. Go Broncos. Also, Vance Joseph deserves a lot of credit. Defense has only given up 16 points the last 2 games. Yeah, and it was against, in the first one, Zach, a red-hot Baker Mayfield, who continued to show that flair for production in his week 4 game. Yep. Aaron Rodgers was coming off a commanding, productive, statistically anyway, performance in that Thursday night game. Broncos put the brakes on both.
If this is the week for the Broncos to get their offense going, it would be this week. I know they have Max Crosby, the Raiders. He was actually out this week. He's hurt. They have Christian Wilkins, but besides them on defense, there's no one that would pose the same challenge as a Seahawks, a Bucks, a Steelers, or a Jets defense. So it's another team in disarray, too. I read that Devontae Adams could be on his way out in Vegas. This is the week, Chad, and I'm echoing Sam here. I'm manifesting the Broncos to finally end that drought against Vegas.
Yes, sir. The Ronk jumping in. Thank you, bro. So good to see you. Saying good evening, Chad and Zach, on the Mile High Huddle podcast. Aftermath, go Bo Broncos. And guys, I got to take this opportunity to remind everybody, you guys did us proud last night, crushing the likes on Facebook, well over 100, crushing the likes on Facebook or on YouTube. It crossed 1,000 today, the gut reaction. We need you to help us keep doing that every single day. So right now, while you're with us, take a second real fast, no skin off your teeth. Like the video if you're on YouTube or Facebook. And if you're with us on IG, hit that little heart button. It helps us out in a big, bad way. Thank you, Ronk. So good to see you, brother. Zach, real quick, before we get back into the chat, we got to take a second and let everybody know that this episode is, in fact, brought to you by Manscaped, the global leader in men's lifestyle and grooming. Every man knows the unbeatable feeling of a fresh barbershop shave. Now, what if I told you that you no longer have to wait weeks or even months between appointments to experience that beautiful feeling?
That's right, Chad. Introducing Manscaped's newest innovation, the Chairman Pro Electric Foil Shaver, the game-changing tool that brings the luxury of a professional shave right into your home. Whether you're after that daily silky smooth finish or prefer to maintain a rugged 5 o'clock shadow, The Chairman Pro electric foil shaver is your go-to for precision and style every single time. Head over to manscaped.com and join the over 11 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by using code HUDDLE for 20% off plus free shipping.
That's right, guys. Get the Chairman Pro today and experience a shave that is as smooth as you deserve. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with our code HUDDLE at manscaped.com. And I seriously, every single day, use multiple Manscaped products, actually, every single day. All three of my boys who can shave use Manscaped products every single day. So highly recommend and vouch for them. Thank you, Manscaped. All right, back to the chat. We've got Mr. Ted Wunderlich jumping in. Great to see you. Back-to-back nights. Love it, dude. Thank you, pal. He says, let's hope Javonte's resurgence is here to stay. We need that running game to be productive in Beatty's absence. Let's snap that Raider losing streak. Well said. And Zach, I got to say something. I think partly to explain Javonte's resurgence yesterday, which quickly as a recap, your boy rushed 16 times, the most I've seen him carry for a minute, for 77 yards totaling or averaging 4.8. And then he had the two receptions for 3 yards. So he gave you 80 yards of offense on 18 touches. And I think a big explanation, and it's not easy to remanufacture, Zach, what I'm about to say. Sometimes it's very much just kind of, that's the way the cookie crumbled based on game flow. But what have we seen with Sean Payton since he arrived? Even last year, Pookie coming off the knee thing, battering ram out of the gates. He gets fed the most in the first half. Then when it's not really working, Sean Payton goes to some of the other guys, and sometimes it loosens up, sometimes it doesn't. In yesterday's case against the Jets, his production and getting fed a lot didn't really start kind of hitting its stride till the second half. Let's be honest. And specifically that 87-yard touchdown drive. So if I'm Sean Payton, and we got to get to this, the update on Tyler Bidet, I'll let you break that down. But if I'm Sean Payton, I'm finding ways to kind of not utilize Pookie as much early in the game and then let that raunchy kind of power and stubbornness of going down, which, by the way, another reason why he was better yesterday, much better vision. Like, he was seeing the cutback lanes and he was running with power and vision and a little bit of twitch and pop. But Zach, if you could say, you know, get McLaughlin, get Jaleel working a little earlier, we'll see what the outlook for Bidet is. I think it's kind of good not to go too heavy on Javonte so early in the games, because the defense gets into a rhythm with him, and that I think limits him.
Yeah, I don't know if I talked about it last night or Thursday's podcast. Sean Payton loves rotating multiple backs, three and four at a time, but I feel like it's to his detriment when he does that. Unfortunately, you lost Bidet, so you were down to McLaughlin and Pookie, and I think the Broncos worked better with only two. I hate to say it for Bidet, but Javonte is the battering ram that you look to deliver the gut punches in the second half, Chad. Ideally, you want to wear the defense out in the first half and then bring in Javonte to wear him down. It was the perfect game script for him. It was nasty weather. It was a defensive slugfest. It was a tough, hard-nosed game, and who was more tough and hard-nosed than Javonte Williams? McLaughlin said something I thought was interesting, that he wasn't surprised Pookie finally had a breakout. Maybe this is a case where a player was just struggling to get going early on, and now he's finding his rhythm going forward.
It could be, but it was a scary situation yesterday with Bidet. Didn't fly home with the team, ended up taking a commercial flight a little bit later in the evening back to Denver. What's the latest on him? Then we'll grab David.
So, yeah, we don't really know his exact injury. Obviously, it was frightening the way he collapsed on the sideline and had to be stretchered off the field at MetLife Stadium. We know it's a back injury per NFL Network, an injury that could land him on injured reserve. But that's a best-case scenario, Chad, because it looked, I don't want to say life-threatening, but it looked pretty severe. We don't know the exact nature. Sean Payton said he's still being evaluated. He's back with the team. He's supposedly in good spirits. We'll know more, I think, as the week goes on.
You looking for the Broncos to make a running back addition?
Blake Watson. Give him some run.
That's true. Blake Watson's ready to roll. David, brother, thank you. Evening, game ball to the defense. Give Bo his due, as will touchdown pass to Sutton as his touchdown. As will his – hold on. Evening, game ball, defense, and gave Bo his due with his TD pass to Sutton that won us the game. Yeah, brother. So – I don't know why. I wish someone would ask Sean Payton why he's so top secret about the game balls. Like, he doesn't, first of all, it sucks for us as content creators, because one of my favorite articles every single week, dating back since MHH began 10 plus years ago, Zach was like, grab the YouTube video, because the Broncos would always post the post game ball video on victories, right? And hey, watch so-and-so get handed game ball, blah, blah, blah. Not only do we not get to see any of that, but if you even ask Coach about it, he says, I'm not interested in talking about the game balls. With the exception of yesterday, he said, except this time I'll tell you one of them going to the equipment crew at Broncos, you know, for the Broncos because of the conditions and whatnot. But yeah, your thoughts here, though, for David.
We also know today he was a little more forthcoming. Quinn Miners got a game ball as well. And we were talking about the blocking for Javonte, getting the running game going. Quinn Miners was a big part of that. So I agree. It's more North Korea kind of propaganda style from Sean Payton. But what are you going to do, Chad?
Well, and yesterday is like biting off the reporter's head, you know, about the heck no on did he lose confidence in Bo Nix. And then, of course, you know, eventually we're going to stop talking about the confidence thing, because he's been irritated about it since like the second time he was asked the question, because Sean Payton seems to be under the presumption that if he addresses a question from the press corps once, he should never have to ever be asked it again. It's like, come on, dude. And then at the end yesterday, what was it? I was laughing with Scott about it, where, injuries, you know, he's like asked about injuries maybe the second or third time. And then he's like, no, I'm not going to address the injury. This right here. Thank you, Mr. Producer.
Making sure what? I said, I'm not.
Just giving you an opportunity.
No, I don't need an opportunity at my press conference. I'm good. I don't want to discuss injury. Is that okay?
I just want to see if he's going on the plane.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right.
We'll see. Is that fair?
I love how he tries to tie him down twice. Is that okay? Is that fair? In other words, if you couldn't quite catch what the reporter was saying, forgive me, I'm not sure who it was, but he said, I'm just trying to give you an after Sean said, I'm not going to talk about injuries, with a little bit of a tone, the reporter goes, well, I'm just, you know, trying to give you an opportunity. And he's like, I don't need an opportunity to discuss injuries at my press conference, meaning it's my press conference. I dictate and choose what I want to talk about. I've already said I'm not going to talk about injuries multiple times. But, you know, then you wonder why he kind of gets cast so poorly by the media. And it's not just local press, Zach. It's like the NFL at large media kind of has to it takes a lot to get him to give Sean Payton his due.
I get there's an obligation to ask about injuries, but you're never going to get anything except for just smashing your head against the wall. You know, he's so off-putting to some and most because of his passive aggressiveness, but I love it, Chad. I'd rather have a little bit of an a-hole of a coach than a coach that gets walked on by the press like the guy in New York does.
Hackett. Howie, brother, so good to see you tonight. Thank you for the freaking stars, Mr. Howie freaking Day. But tie down. So when I was in college, I had a phone sales job. And so I had to learn about sales, okay? And one of the things that you learn about sales is you want to get them saying yes before you try to close them, okay? And so you get them in a emotional, mental state where saying yes is just the natural thing. And so you're constantly, for multiple strategic reasons, throwing at them what are called tie downs. And a tie down is strictly a question so as to make them say yes. And if they don't say yes, it's also the opportunity for them to throw out their objection, to which you can overcome and squash it and move on to the next tie down, and thus, Zach, closer to the close, to the sale, okay? Tie down questions are like this. We all know how much we love to shave, or a nice shave at you know, how it feels coming out of the barbershop, right? And you're like, yes. So he said he used two tie downs there, Zach. Is that okay? And then, is that fair? You know, like forcing the guy twice to admit that, like, do you understand I run shiz in this joint?
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? That's the next line from Sean.
Oh, I love it. Okay. Appreciate you, Howie. So good to see you tonight, big dog. Let me just see where we're at on the chat, see if there's any interesting topics. There's plenty that I want to get into tonight. But let's just take a quick gander here. Mike saying Bo is a joke. Huh? I don't know, homie. What about Bully Bryce? Is Blake Watson in the doghouse? This is on Twitch. We always try to go at least one Twitch. I really want to see him get some reps, Priests. What do you think, Zach? Especially knowing that Bidet, my brain is still going, you're saying that wrong. In fact, I'm looking at the comments. You know, on YouTube as a channel and a bigger channel, if you don't cultivate your comments, it can actually cost you. So, like, you got to make sure people aren't in your comments saying, like, gangster stuff and bad stuff. So I try to peruse it once a day. I'm not always the best at it, but someone's going, it's Beatty. It's Beatty. I'm like, I feel your pain, Doc. Right now you're wrong, but I feel your pain. I was there 3 days ago, bro.
Yeah, same. The thing with Blake Watson, I just think it's a trust factor with Sean Payton, the same way it's taking Marvin Mims so long to get on the field. By the way, he only ran one route against the Jets, so the mystery of Marvin Mims continues. Same reason it took Troy Franklin so long to get on the field, and even Bidet so long to get on the field. It's almost like an honor system with Sean Payton, and I don't know that Blake Watson was quite there yet, but now it's necessity. You need to see what he can do with Estime and Bidet out.
But Blake Watson is on the active roster. So, I mean, you look at the current practice squad features, one, two linebackers, three linebackers, one, two wide receivers, a rush linebacker, Henningsen. Let me see. Yeah, I'm just making sure I'm not forgetting. Sometimes, you know, once the season gets churning, they'll make bottom of the roster moves type churn in the bottom, and I sometimes might forget. But, yeah. So, Blake Watson, if in fact, Bryce, if in fact Bidet is either not going to be fit to play for a while, goes on short-term IR, or for, you know, God forbid he ends up on season-ending IR, Watson, Broncos will have no choice, Zach, but to utilize a little bit of Watson. You know, they'll probably go back to leaning heavy into the whole Pookie Jahlil thing, and that's somewhat unfortunate, as I was saying earlier. I think it does behoove the Broncos to not be so Pookie heavy early in games, but maybe they're seeing the same thing, and maybe we'll see that result, Zach, in some Blake Watson touches. And this is a cat that does have some bona fides. Like, he went undrafted, but the Broncos guaranteed him $250,000 to come sign with them, and you saw how it came out in the wash.
It's a guy that many forgetting ran a 4.39 40 in college, Chad. That was the 93% percentile among testing groups. He's 5'9", about 190, so smaller in the mold of Bidet, but if he can bring an explosive element like Bidet did, you got to see what he can do.
Keith Brugman with his glorious beard. You can see this is a guy who is an expert in manscaping and keeping it manicured. Let's put it that way. He says, speaking of Manscaped and those close shaves, how about this Broncos team getting a win in a down to the wire game? Yeah, dude, there's just, you saw it last year, Zach, when the Broncos went on that 5-game win streak and every one of those games came down to the wire and the Broncos would just kept finding a way to win when the chips were down. You build up some confidence, man. And as long as the key components of your roster are sound, that confidence can build into a living, breathing thing that pays dividends as the season marches on. Well, there was an aspect, unfortunately, last year, Zach, to the Broncos roster that was unsound, and that was Russell Wilson, the turnover machine, and the guy who would, unfortunately, once the games begin to matter, it's like you battle back into the conversation in November, and you're like, let's go. Now you actually face these, like, crap or get off the pot games, and at every point, not only did he fail to capitalize, Zach, but that's when he'd turn in like his stinker performance of the, you know, the month, so to speak. So unfortunately, they weren't able to fully harness and exploit the confidence they built from those tight wins. And but this is a team that I think is just has a different makeup, because when you change quarterback like that, whether you think Bo Nix sucks or not, all right, it's a new quarterback. It's a different quarterback, fresh mindset. And you're coming off two hard-fought wins on the road on the East Coast.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at it and consider week one, Chad, that was a one-possession loss. Week two, that's a one-possession loss. How many close games did the Broncos lose over the last decade. How many times were they on the other side of the scoreboard? And that's what I talked about last night when Ripdye, I hate to call him out again, but he was kind of, you know, poo-pooing a win. And I said to him, how many times did we get on this podcast over the last 8 years and talk about a close, hard-fought defeat for Denver, a game they should have won? It's so nice to talk about a game they did pull out in the end. I'm not going to apologize, Chad. Neither are you for any victory like that.
I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize to absolutely nobody. String Guy says, I never expected Knicks to be great his first season, so I'm willing to give him time to develop. The thing that concerns me is not being able to pass effectively in the rain. Well, tell that to Aaron Rodgers. Were you equally concerned for Aaron Rodgers' sake? And I'm not trying to be a smart aleck here, String Guy. But both guys struggled until the rain relented in the third quarter. I'll remind you, the Jets did not even quite get to 100 total yards till right before halftime. It was tough for him. And this is a guy that's been starting games year in and year out in the NFL since 2010, right? He was a 2008. So 05 pick 2008. He's starting all those games, and it didn't serve him in the sense of you didn't grow all of a sudden 13 inch hands that, you know, by virtue of your experience. So it equalized, and the fact that both quarterbacks were having to go against top shelf defenses also leveled the playing field. And so again, it comes down to pick your poison. Do you want the yards or do you want the win? So I feel you, Bo Nix. Zach, my point here to String Guy is Bo Nix, growing pains. That's part of what this season is about. Let him have them without jumping to conclusions. D-Dub in the hizzy from the top rope. Thank you, bro. Dale,
so much.
Seriously, we appreciate you so much. Can't even tell you. Can't even tell you how much, Dale. He says, in my opinion, Peyton is doing a good job keeping Bo in a game plan that does not ask him to win the game. Just don't take bad sacks. Don't turn the ball over. Let the game decide. I'm going to emphasize that. Let the game decide what we put on Bo's shoulders. Focus on winning while bringing him along slowly, Broncos for life. Yeah, and that's one of the saving graces of Bo Nix's two games back-to-back, right? He had four total interceptions, Zach, in the first two games, one of which was just brutal, that end zone pick against the Steelers after the game potentially swinging turnover. The Broncos finally get a little – or not turnover, but a big play downfield. And then he throws the pick, and you're going, oh. But then he goes, oh, he learns from it. Remember, that's another theme we kept hearing from the Broncos coaches. You rarely have to tell Bo Nix something twice. You know, he learns from his setbacks. He learns from his mistakes. Then he goes on the road, pretty much a perfect game in terms of that, you know, limiting negative in Tampa, limiting negative in New York. That's a model that a coach like Sean Payton can build on, especially with a guy as talented as Bo Nix and as smart as he is.
Yeah, I want to make 2 points. Number one, String Guy, to the previous comment, it wasn't just rain. It wasn't just drizzle. It was torrential downpour. I'd like to see a quarterback that could thrive in that, whether you're Patrick Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, as Chad pointed out, didn't. He was also struggling there. So I'm going to let that be a circumstantial thing, and I think he'll get better handling the ball with gloves or whatever that he could use. Dale, your comment here is spot on, and ideally you want to let the game dictate and let him be the cherry on top. We talked about two factors that could be Bo Nix's best friends this season: a dominant rushing attack and a dominant defense. I thought they would have the rushing attack. I was questionable about the defense. They have the defense now. It's elite by every metric and every category. They can get the running game going forward the rest of the season. The idealistic nature of Dale's comment here could apply to real life, Chad, Bo could be the trigger man, the auxiliary option, the secondary guy, and let everyone else around him do the heavy lifting.
And I think that this offensive line is starting to get into a rhythm, and it's unfortunate that, you know, it's happening without McGlinchey being a part of that momentum and kind of synergy that's being developed. But the offensive line is pass blocking really well. I mean, Bo Nix is not being kept completely clean, but no NFL quarterback. I mean, it's hard, man. The defense has been on the rise the last few years, and it's hard to keep quarterbacks perfectly untouched. But this offensive line, what I'm getting at, Zach, is it's reforging chemistry. Like, I'll tell you, I slept on how long it might take for the synergy component to come back into play for this O-line with Lloyd Cushenberry hitting the bricks. And it took basically a quarter of a season is what I'm saying. It took about a quarter of a season for this new kind of collection, and another setback too with McGlinchey hitting IR, short-term IR, that is. But still, I'm really encouraged by that. And I think that as this offensive line continues to build up its synergy and momentum, these backs are getting their you-know-what together. Bo Nix and the whole unit, I have a lot of confidence. And here we are sitting now, the 30th of September, last day of the month. I have a lot of confidence that this offense is going to start coming more into its own in the month of October.
Yeah, and traditionally, Sean Payton's teams have always started slow going back to New Orleans. It's unfortunate, but that's the way he kind of coaches, and you get better as the season goes on. So I echo what you said, Chad. I think the best is still yet to come from the Broncos offense.
Clayton, bro, what's up on Facebook? One of our great supporters saying, smash the like button and share, guys. Man, oh, man, oh, man. Absolutely love the defense. Lights out all game long. I did say on all my podcasts that I listen to, no fly zone part two, baby. Absolutely love thoughts. Another question. Who's doing better, guys, the O-line, Bo Nix, or both? And that kind of feeds Zach into what I was saying. I think these things kind of go hand in hand, but I think one of the reasons you're seeing us, even though it was an ugly offensive game overall, Zach, you're seeing the win stack up is because the O-line is coming into its own, and that allows Bo Nix, a rookie, because when you talk about to do his thing, when you talk about what comes first, chicken or the egg, in this sense, is it the O-line that makes the quarterback look better, or is it like the Peyton Manning that makes the offensive line look better? And I think, you know, once you get to the Aaron Rodgers level of experience and wherewithal and the Peyton Mannings and all that, it's the other way around. It's those quarterbacks tend to make their offensive line look a little bit higher quality than perhaps they deserve at times. But in this case, for a rookie, I think it's the other way around. That O-line needs to really come together in order to help that rookie find his footing a little bit sooner.
I'm of the mind that it doesn't matter if you have prime John Elway back there. If you can't block for him, if he ends up on his back, it really doesn't matter. So the O-line doing a good job in pass pro, doing a good job in run blocking, at least yesterday for Javonte Williams. And also Bo Nix not scrambling into pressure, not taking unnecessary stacks, not making his O-line look worse like his predecessor did much too often, Chad.
We've got here George Fox jumping in on Facebook. Great to see one of our great super supporters over on Facebook. He says, well, guys, do you think we could have a better offense this week? I know the defense is top-notch. I'll take a game like this one if that's the best we've got. But I see the offense doing better each week. Broncos for life, MHH for life. I do too. And that kind of ties into, George, this thing from Rodney saying, sorry, one sec, Scott. From Rodney saying, I remember, where'd it go? Is that? I thought it was Rodney. I saw it. Maybe it wasn't Rodney, but I do like what you're saying here. The whole reference from Fast and Furious, if it doesn't matter if you win by an inch or if you win by a mile. But throwback on George there. I don't know why I lost my train of thought on that one, but I do think, as I mentioned just a moment ago, though, George, I think you're going to start seeing the offense coming into its own in the month of October. And this is Raider week, baby. You know, Bo Nix, yeah, he's notched his first touchdown. He notched his first win, but none of those awesome things, Zach, have happened yet in front of the home crowd. So what better opportunity than this week to not only do those things, get his first home win in front of the home crowd in Broncos country, but snap the ignominious Raiders win streak. Let's go.
And also their defense, as I mentioned earlier, they're so middle of the pack in every category, especially with Max Crosby out. And after facing the Seahawks, the Steelers, the Bucks, the Jets, I mean, the Raiders defense should be a walk in the park for Bo Nix. That's what we were talking about earlier.
That's the thing, man. It's skewing the numbers, and I understand it. We're so used to crap that we just believe it when it gets served on a plate. We just believe it. You know, we don't necessarily, you know, maybe it's a chocolate pudding made to look like a pile of, you know what? You don't know because you're just used to getting served that, but maybe they changed the chef. Maybe he's playing a trick on you and it's actually a real sugary treat and surprise. What I'm getting at here is in the case of Bo Nix, man, like we're so used to just going, oh, looks like that, then that's what it is. But don't discount how tough this slate of defenses he's had to face early on and how big of a challenge that's been for Sean Payton to keep his young rookie quarterback, you know, chopping wood without completely going into a shell and losing that precious confidence everyone wants to keep asking the coach about. Daniel Garcia, Zach Allen reminds me of some Derek Wolfe. He's playing like it this year. Last year down the stretch started seeing it, but this year, Zach, golly, he is a man on a mission and an absolute force to be reckoned with.
I'm going to say something kind of controversial. I think Zach Allen's playing better than Derek Wolfe as a run defender, as a pass rusher. I mean, his motor, I think, is higher, and also he's dependable. We all loved Wolfie, but he could never really stay on the field, and the best of ability is availability. Zach Allen, by every metric, every data point, is playing like an all-pro, a first-team all-pro this season. He trained under J.J. Watt in Arizona. People forget that. He was called mini J.J. Watt, and he is certainly playing like his mentor this season.
He's got two sacks. He's got 14 tackles, eight of which are solo. He's got four tackles for a loss. He's hit the quarterback 10 times. And keep in mind, guys, in 17 games last year, Zach Allen only hit the quarterback 24 times. He's already got 10 through four games. He also is responsible for that one safety, too. So love it, dude. I want to see more of it. Let's go. The Papa Bear checking in with the super. Thank you, David. Great to see you tonight, brother. Saying good evening, Broncos country. Right back at you. I hope it's been a splendid Monday for you, bro. Here we have Zeebo checking in from Oz. Love it, dude. Also enjoyed the email correspondence, my friend. Thank you for the super chat. He says, just joined, but all I am hearing is how the Jets lost the game rather than got their butts whooped by the Broncos D. Hashtag go Bo Broncos, MHH for life. Yeah, I mean, that's just kind of the nature of Broncos country. And I don't say this as a hit. It shows, in fact, actually the quality of the fan bases. Our expectations for all these years of just being one of the standards in the NFL is higher. And even though it's a win, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Fans want to see a more competent, polished-looking offensive production here. And they're not seeing it. And so they're having a little bit of a hard time, Zach, enjoying this win. For whatever reason, a good swath, I'm not even going to paint with broad strokes of a majority or paint all fans this way, but a good chunk of the fan base, I'll just say it that way, seems to be like, maybe like, we should have lost that. Like, punish us. Let's self-flagellate and you know, like those Catholic dudes that are like whipping themselves on the back. Like, let's do that. We should have lost that one because Bo Nix only had 60 passing yards.
It's such a loser mentality, in my opinion. Again, just my thoughts. I don't mean to gatekeep what being a fan is, but if you watch yesterday's game, you should be happy the Broncos got a win. Doesn't matter if it was by 1 point. Doesn't matter if Bo Nix had 60 passing yards. The Broncos won a football game, and wins have been so hard to come by in the last decade. So to me, if you're a real Broncos fan, you're just happy they won the game, Chad.
Dale jumping in again, bro. Thank you. So generous. And this is
thank you, Dale.
A hallmark of what we've come to know as this man's quality and contribution overall and impact to us. And great friend, one of the best dudes I've met in this business doing what I do. And it's a blessing to have men and people in our community like D-Dub. And loved seeing you a couple weeks ago, bro, you and the missus. He says, yes, Zach. Think Brady in early Pat's years. Can't believe I said that. With this defense, we can play smash mouth football. As a run game flourishes, we can win ugly. Pat's beat the greatest show on turf with a young Brady and a strong defense. And then he goes on to say, kind of shifting gears, I like Alex Palcheski at right tackle. I do too. Unfortunately, you're paying through the nose for a guy on IR who's probably going to get his job back when he gets healthy. But if I'm the Broncos, I'm going, hey, maybe you ought to just enjoy the year off here, Mike, and we'll keep it going with that. Just knowing you could always activate him whenever, right? As long as he misses 4 weeks, you could, even if he's healthy on the first day of the fifth week, you could wait till the eighth week, Zach. You could wait. I mean, I think there is some limitation to what point, but I'm digressing here. Your thoughts here for Dale.
There's many such cases of what you're talking about, Dale, and you're spot on. I mean, even think back to Russell Wilson in his early Seattle days, the prime Russell Wilson. He was aided by a dominant running game and a dominant defense, and allowed him to make the secondary plays to win the football game. But the thing you said here, we can win ugly, that's been the sticking point, I think, to the fans that we've talked about, Chad. They want to see just constant sexy wins. They don't want to win ugly. They'd rather lose pretty. But Dale, I'm with you. I'd rather win ugly any day of the week, because a win is a win is a win, and you never apologize for any of them.
Whoa, the Lady D, damn, coming off the top rope, like, pick the – I don't know enough about wrestling. I was trying to think of, like, a famous female wrestler from the top rope, but I don't know any. And so, anyways, I suck at that. Bad on me. Thank you, Deanna. We love you. You mean the world to us. You know this. And she says, evening, Chad, Zach, and Scott. Loved the picture of Aaron Rodgers sitting with a towel over his head. Yeah, I do too. Defense only won to not let him get a touchdown. Awesome. Offense needs to do better, though, against the Raiders. I love that we're 2-2. So happy we won. MHH for life. Yeah, Zach, I mean, the Broncos didn't start pulling out of their tailspin last year, year one of Sean Payton. Till honestly, it was, pardon me, too late, right? The magic started happening like week 6 and 7. And, you know, it's too late, dude. 1-4, it's too late. And we saw that come out in the wash. They gave us a little bit of hope. But the only way teams have managed, Zach, I shouldn't say the only, but mainly the main way teams who start 0-2, because your playoff chances go through the freaking basement when you start 0-2. But the teams who have over the years overcome 0-2 to go on to the playoffs, Zach, they quickly balance the scales and get to 500, 2-2. Like, now you're back to 11 players. Like Nick wrote about today, you're back in the game. Like, you're back in the conversation now. So not everything needs to be so panicky, including the conversation surrounding the team. Like, let them go out there and compete. Let this season matriculate and take on whatever complexion it's going to, and let the rookie get his experience.
The Broncos were 7.5-point underdogs against the Jets yesterday, and they went in there and they won. And the remaining visual from that game, and first of all, thank you so much, Deanna. You are incredible each and every day. The remaining visual, like you talked about there, was Aaron Rodgers sitting with the towel, completely beat up, disheveled, just out of it. And partly because the Broncos defense played so well, just a random stat, Chad, the Broncos had two of the fastest sacks in week 4. The P.J. Locke was the second fastest overall. He got to him in about 2 seconds. And the Sternod sack was the fourth fastest overall. He got to him in, I think, about 4 seconds. So when you have a defense with that see ball, get ball mentality, that fire, that passion, and all the fundamentals and execution, you can go really far. So I'm excited, Deanna, as are you, to see where the defense carries the Broncos to and where Bo Nix steps up and fills the void.
Love you, Deanna. And we've got Daniel Garcia entering like the dragon. I botched that, you know, enter that. He's got Bruce Lee. Dude, have you ever seen, Scott, have you ever seen Once Upon a Time in Hollywood? I think it's the last Tarantino. And it's that scene where Leo DiCaprio plays a fictitious, you know, famous movie star in the 60s. And his stunt double is also his best buddy. And is arguably the more handsome guy, and yet it's Leo that's the star and all that. But there's a scene where Bruce Lee, they're on a movie set with Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee's all, you know, trying to be a bad A and puff his chest out, and the stunt double played by Brad Pitt laughs at him kind of flexing. And so because a bunch of support, you know, whatever, staff, you know, key grips and whatever are standing around, Bruce Lee feels like he has to kind of like step to Brad Pitt, who's completely unimpressed, and Brad Pitt puts him in his place, and it's the funniest thing, dude. But I just thought of that. Sorry, Daniel, you get the anecdote. Sorry, dude. I know it's a Broncos podcast, but you're the one that put Bruce Lee in your YouTube profile pic, so you're getting it. He says, this week we'll start a new one. # let him bow. Yeah, I like it, dude. Let him bow. Hey, Raiders. Hey, Broncos. It's time for the Raiders. You gotta let them bow, Zach.
Yeah, I mean, I think if he has a breakout against the Raiders, and this is a game, again, where the offense should get going, then I think we'll break out the hashtags, Daniel. But from a quarterback throwing for 60 yards, you can't really make a star out of nothing yet.
You've read Helter Skelter a dozen times. So that's another one of the kind of like threads of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is like this whole Manson family thing, and it's whatever. Why? Is it a good book? I've actually never read it, and I'm a huge reader, so I read like a book a month minimum. Okay, I'll check it out, dude. I'll have to go back because I know it's kind of like a Pulp Fiction-y classic, no pun intended. Not fiction, pulp. You know what I'm saying? Like pulp culture, pop culture, I guess is actually the right word for it. I'm rambling. I'm gonna have to read that. Daniel, thank you, big dog. Appreciate the support, my friend. Zach, we're at the 43-minute mark. So, guys, this is consider this the 2-minute warning, so to speak. I'm going to go back to the chat here. String guy saying, good points, Chad and Zach. Still, Bo needs to learn to play with gloves in cold and wet conditions, or we need to get a killer run game, which I always think helps the pass game. I don't know, man. I don't blame quarterbacks who just are reticent to go to the glove. I mean, Peyton, let's think off the top of our head. Prolific quarterbacks, comfortable with the glove. Peyton Manning late in his career, post neck injuries. Kurt Warner late in his career.
Stafford.
Did Big Ben use a glove here and there? I want to say I might be tripping. But my point is, myself, all right, I was a bit of an athlete when I was a young buck. I mean, if I took a hit like Tyler Bidet did yesterday, like I would actually no longer be with you today, you know, so I'm not trying to flex like, but you know, you feel being able to feel that ball, even in those conditions, like your touch, your accuracy, your command. So how much do you want to split that baby in your practice reps? Meaning, you know, how much of the total numbers of times you're going to throw today in practice, how many of those are you going to peel off with a glove on to start getting comfortable? Maybe he should a little bit though, Zach, just playing devil's advocate, because you are an open air, you play for an open air team in a place that gets rather unfriendly weather wise from like middle of November on, can start earlier, but it is the Rockies.
I get what you're saying, String Guy. In theory, I agree. And I think you'll see him start to, you know, do what he can equipment wise to help. But again, this wasn't just an ordinary rainstorm. This, I believe, was the remnants of Hurricane Helene, Chad. So I don't know how many other games that the circumstances will dictate rain like that for Bo Nix to deal with.
This is a bummer, dude. I didn't know this till just now.
Yeah, it's been a tough day.
R.I.P., the great Pete Rose, died today at the age of 83. I've been watching. So there was a documentary on Pete Rose that's on HBO Max, and I started watching it. So I'm like one episode in, then I got kind of like roped into something else. So I'm going to go back to it now. But I remember one of the things he was saying in this little documentary was like, it's unfortunate if I eventually, you know, get my flowers and whatnot posthumously, meaning after he is no longer with us. And that's a bummer, man. I'm of the opinion that MLB should have forgave Pete Rose a long time ago and let him in. But I'm not exactly a huge baseball guy. Scott, what are your thoughts? Just give me the thumbs up. Should he be in the hall? Yeah. RIP to Pete Rose. Legend, dude. Legend. RIP. That's a bummer.
Yeah, Dikembe also passed today. And then
Christofferson.
Christofferson, yeah. Sorry. Before my time.
I love Kris Kristofferson, you know, as an actor, whatever. But, like, I loved his music as kind of one of the outlaw country guys. Troubadour, country cats. I'm not big for country music, but I like that legit, like kind of gutter country from the old days where it was like, it was legit. It wasn't like pop beats, you know, like I hear today. My wife, one time she talked me to go in, 'cause she loves country music, and what modest respect I do have for country music has come through her exposing me to some of the different artists and this and that and bands and whatnot. And one time, Zach, I got to tell you, there's this big country festival comes through town. She's like, you got to go. And I look at the bill. I'm like, I don't recognize any of these names. And she doesn't really, maybe she was into them. I don't know some of them. But this band played that was called like Georgia-Florida Line or Florida-Georgia Line, yeah, or something like that. And dog, if you didn't, if they just didn't sing with a Southern accent, you would, it was just like canned pop music. It wasn't country music. They just put a little twang to their vocal. To me, that's not country. But then again, I'm not exactly a country expert, but unfortunately, yeah, Kris Kristofferson no longer with us either.
Yeah, same. I'm not. That's one of the few country bands I actually know, like country artists like Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs.
Dude, my friend Jeff brought me up to speed on that guy. Morgan, what'd you say?
Morgan Wallen.
Yeah.
Super song. Super mainstream.
Yeah. Kind of interesting, the song I heard. Maybe there's some. Yeah. Exactly, Scott. You know, listen, David Allan Coe. A lot of things about that man that I'll just put it this way. Like a lot of dudes from his era, he was kind of a man of his time. But that was a guy my grandpa liked. My dad, to this day, you know, you go hunting with Mark Jensen at some point, David Allan Coe will be played. Yeah, Hank Jr. for sure. Merle Haggard, Willie, Shooter, et cetera. Okay, guys, we're about out of time here. Pearl saying, yo, give me country swing any day. Hey, good for you. That's awesome. And if you like music, yeah, I'm with you. She said, I'm a fan of old country. Yeah. All right. I think this might be the last super of the night from James Edwards jumping in. Thank you, bro. Hey, brothers, how do I ask this? But what the hey, can we do about the refs stealing a scoop and score from the Broncos on a horrible call and us with no challenges thoughts? You can't do anything about it, unfortunately. You can complain to the league, but you can't get that toothpaste back in the tube. Like, unfortunately, you're out of challenges. It wasn't within, you know, inside, or to quote Sean Payton, it wasn't south of the 2-minute warning. It was north of the 2-minute warning. And so it wasn't an auto review, Zach. And that's the price you pay for, in one case anyway, an unwise challenge. The second challenge, I think, that big pass down the sideline to Garrett Wilson, that was a justified challenge. You should have challenged that. It was the wrong call. The Broncos got robbed there too, and that led to them getting further bamboozled with that unfortunate inability, Zach, to challenge the strip sack return to the house.
If anyone watched the Dolphins-Titans game earlier, it happened to the Titans. A quick whistle on Miami negated what should have been a Titans defensive touchdown. Just poor officiating throughout the league, and I think the Broncos have gotten quite a bit of the brunt. We talked about that in week two. What can you do, James? Be Patrick Mahomes, who seems to get all the calls. Then things will change for you. Otherwise, it's unfortunately the nature of the game.
Okay, guys, we got a few messages for you. Then we got a dip, but if anything, Zach's going to go through it. Guys, please make sure you're liking this video. We need you. Come on, let's go.
That was another tremendous installment, as always, of the Mile High Huddle podcast. If you're not doing so, please follow us on Twitter at the MHH Pod. You can follow the main account on Twitter at Mile High Huddle, Chad at Chad and Jensen, myself at Kelberman NFL, and Scott, our producer, at Scout Kennedy. If you guys want some merch, like we're rocking each and every single podcast, check out mhhmerch.com and get you some. If you haven't done so yet, drop us a like at facebook.com/milehighhuddlepod. You can find us on Instagram at mile_high_huddle. If you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, make sure you're leaving your Football Priest a 5-star review for a chance to win some merch each and every single month. But if anything, please, please, please subscribe, like, and share this video and every video you see on the MHH channel. It really, really does help us grow and reach more Broncos fans just like you.
Listen, right now, guys, we have just right now, we're winding down. Show's almost over. We have 105 people watching, 106 just on YouTube right this very moment. And yet we only have 65 likes on the video. Harsh. I know not everyone likes country anecdotes and stupid Tarantino references and all this. We need you. Give us those likes. A mile high salute and a special shout out tonight to the great Super Chat superstars and supporters, really helping us keep the lights on and going above and beyond. Like Sam Bam here, all right? Like The Ronk. Like Ted Wunderlich and his awesome pops we got to meet. David Yunkin. Howie Frickin' Day in the Frickin' House. George Fox. Yeah, buddy. Daniel Garcia. The Papa Bear. David McElrath. Zeebo, a.k.a. Zeebo, down in Australia. I was about to use your real name, but then I realized there's probably a reason you don't use your real name. James Edwards, brother, thank you. And then massive generosity from Dale, our friend, longtime friend, D-Dub, and the Lady D from the Top Rope. Thank you guys so much. Love you. Zach and I, we're off tomorrow and the next day, but we're back in the saddle for Thursday to really start getting down and dirty, previewing Raider Week, episode one, at least for 2024.
Want to give a shout out to Brian Smith here. Says, I threw you a like every day, boys. Thank you for the show. You're my number one Broncos channel. Thank you so much, Brian. And again, if anyone's listening, hit those thumbs up, hit the like button. It helps out exponentially. But have a great start to your week, a great rest of your Monday. We will see you Thursday night. Take care. And as always, go Broncos.
Head on over to milehighhuddle.com for all things Broncos.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance specialist for university housing, he knows college students can major in wear and tear. Plus, housing so many students doesn't leave a lot of room to house all the supplies he needs. That's where Grainger comes in. With over 1 million industrial-grade products and fast, dependable delivery, Grainger carries the quality products he needs so he doesn't have to. From a new door hinge to a whole new faucet. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.